very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, December 7th, 2018. And this is Live Talk. I'm Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Kip Stube.
And tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, we are going to talk about yesterday's Foreign Relations Committee on Africa and Global Health Policy hearing on the 2018 elections in Zimbabwe and the country's political future.
To join the discussion, phone us directly at this number 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you back.
And as usual, Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on the 4930-154-60 and 138-60 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
On the internet, you can find us at www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashona.com, and www.voindebele.com.
The U.S. Senate hearing was chaired by Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, and also in attendance were members of the committee Chris Coons of Delaware and New Jersey's Cory Booker. The three senators, in brief remarks, alleged that President Emmerson Mnangagwa was not walking the talk when it comes to introducing political and economic reforms.
Presenting his report before the subcommittee, the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Matthew Harrington, also noted that Mr. Mnangagwa's reform agenda was moving at a snail's pace and had failed to inspire confidence as alleged human rights abuses have continued, including the alleged harassment of opposition leader Tendai Biti of the MTC. Also presenting his testimony before the committee, a senior fellow of the Center for Global Development, Todd Moss, said Mnangagwa's government should be demilitarized and argued that sanctions are not hurting Harare, but mismanagement and corruption are bedeviling the nation.
But businessman Joel Mtizwa, also giving testimony before the committee, said America must lift sanctions on Zimbabwe as they are damaging private companies and also affecting in a negative way ordinary Zimbabweans.
If you wish to join the show right now, phone us directly at this number 001-202-619-2077. That number again, 001-202-619-2077. Ye, Mashabe Zulu. Injani kuna ngapi?
Ah, mina ngiyaphila kunjani?
Hayi ngiyaphila mfowethu sithini?
Mina ku right. Ah, hongu hama wadiwa nasi tida kuti tinge tichitarisa nezve musangano wakaitwa nezuro ku Senate yeku America ma office ava Jeff Flake vanova senator veku Arizona vachitaura nenyaya ye Zimbabwe pakabuda pfungwa dzakasiyana siyana zvikuru pachitariswa kudyidzana kwe Zimbabwe ne America va Flake nava Cory Booker nava Chris Coons vanova ma senator emuno ma America vakatiwo mu Zimbabwe hongu vamugabe vanenge vakaenda asi avasku nyasoona zvinhu zvakati tsvikiti zviri kuitwa nehurumende kuedza kuvandudza zvinhu munyaya dzekodzero dzevanhu vachipa muenzaniso kwavanoti kushungurudzwa kuri kuitwa vatendai Biti pakataurwawo zvishoma nenyaya vaitaidza mara vasati vaonekwa kusvika pari zvino mushure mekunge vapambwa muna 2015. Apasi kuzikanwa kuti vari kupi nekudaro vari kutiwo kuti zvirango zvakatemirwa vamunangagwa nevamwe vakuru vehurumende zvibviswe panofanira kuonekwa kuti pane zvinhu zvachinja muZimbabwe munyaya dzekodzero dzevanhu munyayawo dzine chekuita nezveupfumi nezvimwe zvematongerwo enyika asi vachitaurawo pamusangano mumwe chetewo vamutizwa vakatiwo zvirango zviri kukanganisa zvakanyanya vana veZimbabwe nekudaro zvinofanira kuti zvibviswe vachitiwo semaonero avo vamunangagwa vanga vachiedza nepavanogona napo kuti vavandudze zvinhu asi vari kuti zvinoda nguva Gibbs.
Kunjalo ke sibili sibonile izolo tikona pake kwelemelika kati kulo mhlangano omkhulu owenziwe lidalele Senate kona pake emelika bekukhulunywa ke ngokuthi kwenzakalani eZimbabwe bekukhangela ukuthi kwenze ukhetho sukusela leso sikhathi sokwenzakaleni. So abakhulumileyo sibili bathile ukuthi hayi kukhona ongani kuyahlupha kwele Zimbabwe lokhu kukhulunywa kakhulu ngumnumzana Jeff Flake, umnumzana Chris Coons nomnumzana Cory Booker kanya lomnuzana Todd Moss. So bate ele Zimbabwe wazani liyazehlulekela ngaso kukhangelwa konoko elakuthembisayo. Bathi izithembiso zikhona, amabhuku abhaliwe kule ngwalo eziningi ezinhle okunye okumangalisayo, kodwa izenzo phela siyawazi ukuthi phela akumazwi kungela zenzo. So ke nxa ukuthi ungakhuluma ukhulume, kumele phela wenze ukuthi abantu bekubone ukuthi wenzani. So ke kukhulunywe njalo lokuthi kukhanya kazani abantu abaphikisa ibandla elibusayo balokhu bekukhahlanyezwa libandla leZANU-PF. Njalo kukhulunywe langemthetho ukuthi umthetho we-Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act kuzobuya we-Public Order and Security Act kumele ngawuyesulwa nxa kuwukuthi ilizwe leZimbabwe lingani liqakathekisa ukuthi lidlelane lele Melika. Sibone njalo bekulobaba okuthiwa nguJoe Mutizwa obemele inkampani eziningi kakhulu khonapha-ke ezekhuluma laye evela kwaleZimbabwe. Uthe izijeziso zenoto kumele zesulwe njalo ilizwe leZimbabwe ngani seliqazi ukuthi lithuthuke ngemfanelo. Uphinde wakhuluma ngokuthi kulabanye somabhizimusi abafuna ukuthi badlelane lohulumende, abanye vele ukuthi sebedlelana lohulumende. I don't know whether we've got a video that we can play, Blessing.
Maybe first, before we go to that, let's introduce our first guest, Mr. Gilbert Muponda. He's a businessman and also a member of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Mr. Muponda, good evening.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. Good evening, Blessing.
Thank you so much, but you have to speak up. We can hardly hear you. Gibbs, maybe before we go to the videos, you can fire away.
Yeah, so Mr. Muponda, looking at the issues that were discussed here in Washington yesterday, there was one particular issue concerning sanctions. According to the senators that were present, it seems as if Zimbabwe is not doing much in terms of reforms. So it's not the time now to say, okay, those people when they were targeted with sanctions, it shouldn't be the case that they should be removed now. So what is your take on exactly what went on yesterday?
Well, I think there is a great misinterpretation of what's happening, because if you talk of targeted sanctions, you are really trying to mislead everyone. I'll give you an example. You cannot talk about, say you want to kill a zebra and say I'll just shoot on the black spot or on the white spot without affecting the whole zebra. The same thing with sanctions. You can't affect a certain part of the country in that way, because generally the sanctions affect the whole country's economy because of how they work by nature. Because once you say this country, the leader is under sanctions, these companies are under sanctions, the general investor community takes a very dim view of that country and any entities that are coming from that country. And because of that, it affects everyone. It ceases to be targeted, as it were. As I've just said, if you're trying to kill a zebra, they say, I'll just affect the white part or the black part. It affects everyone. So really, it was very sad that that is the route taken by the senators, as it ignores the positives that have happened in the country over the last 12 to 18 months. Positive things that we all continue to witness. So I think it was a very unfortunate development.
What are these positives, Mr. Muponda?
Well, I think for starters, the president was in New York, where he was offering an office for the opposition leader, an officially recognized position, where the opposition is now being, treated as an equal partner in governance, and they are recognized and they are afforded they deserve, and also their views are heard. That is a very positive development that happened, which I think is not being given the adequate importance it deserves. Because that in itself, it means that the opposition views are now being taken as part of the governing system and process. Yes, that is a standard within other developed countries and other, Commonwealth countries, to show that the opposition, even if you are not in the ruling side of things, but your views, your policies, and your agenda can be pushed through that office. So that is a positive step. Even also the environment in the last election was very open, where the opposition was free to campaign all over the country, including the previously areas they couldn't access, such as the rural areas. You hear the opposition having all these rallies everywhere, basically wherever they wanted, without any hindrance whatsoever. So I think the sanctions renewal without acknowledging any positives, I think it was very unfortunate. They could have, you know, given a reward of some sort, because you, the approach should be more about the carrot stick approach, where, you know, for something positive, you get some reward of some sort. But to totally ignore what happened, I think it was totally unfortunate, because we have seen how the ministers were even appointed in terms of, say, look at the Minister of Finance, look at the Minister of Sports and Youth, look at the Mining Minister. You have people who are technocrats. These are not politicians or ruling party stalwarts. These are not traditional politicians. These are people who should open up the country and who are opening up the political space within the country. And that is what the president did. That is what the party did, to appoint people of respect, people of great standing in their respective fields. So those developments, I think, deserved some reward of some sort from the international community, some acknowledgement, as it were, to say, look, okay, you haven't reached where we think you should be, but you've done something positive for that. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So that didn't happen, so we were generally disappointed.
Mm-hmm. But of course, on the issues that you are raising, first on the issue of Mr. Mnangagwa saying he wants to give a position to Mr. Chamisa. Those are some of the things that they actually noted that the president had done well, including the cabinet. But their query was that the president was not walking the talk. He was promising a lot of things that they say if he had implemented, that was going to be very, very positive indeed. Gibbs.
Mm-hmm. So now, Mr. Mponda, you are saying that the president of Zimbabwe is very impressive in terms of the opposition. But we've got some cases here, you know. If you look at the case of Mr. Tendai Biti, it actually was discussed here. And then we've got issues to do with what happened in Parliament. You still remember 2 days ago, there was some kind of match slinging between Mr. Joseph Chinotimba and Honorable Tabita Kumalo. So, in that respect, do you think that the president is accommodating?
Well, I think the president stretched his hand out to Mr. Chamisa and said, look, we are ready to create this office and things like that. But the response he's gotten was like, oh no, I should be the one in your office. You know? So I think it's not as one-sided as you put it, that the president hasn't done much. The president has stretched his hand out and said, look, you are welcome, let's work together, I'll create this office, but that offer has been fund, basically. Then if you talk about this unfortunate incident about Honorable Chinotimba and Honorable Kumalo, it's unfortunate because you heard these negative comments about women. This was started by the MDC when they started to talk about Miss Kupe, their previous vice president. So this talk that is generally political, and it was generated by the MDC first. Not that it's good talk, but it's some talk that the MDC itself started to say on its own female leaders. And this language is gotten now to be used by another party member who happens not to be within the MDC. So some of these things are unfortunate, but the MDC itself should also walk the talk. The president, in terms of him walking the talk, you've seen his drive on anti-corruption. I'm sure you've seen some convictions, some people going to court and things like that. And it's a long process. Why I'm saying that the president deserves and the party deserves commendation is because these are processes. These are not events. Mm-hmm. You cannot talk about weeding out corruption and think it's a one-day event. You cannot talk about changing a system which has been entrenched for 37 years. You know, these are processes that the president, you've seen even how you've brought in new blood into the party, into the structures. It's a process. You can't just dump people and things like that. There are processes, and also this corruption thing. How else can the president do it? When you are arrested, they go to court, and then the court process does this thing. About Mr. Biti, this thing is before the court. The president hasn't interfered in terms of do this to him or that. There is an allegation against him, and it's going through the court system. So I don't really think it's fair for us to now start pointing fingers at the president or the party as it were. Mr. Biti is being accused of certain things, and he's in court, and he's a lawyer, and he's competently given bail. He's not under anything that we can say is cruel and unusual punishment. He's going through the court process and the court system, which some NPF members are also going through, by the way. So, I, you know, whilst I might want to to understand the point raised by the Senate in that regard, but I don't really think it's fair for them to then say, look, the president should interfere with the judicial processes because it happens to be Mr. BT, who's a member of the opposition and things like that. How can the president interfere to help an MDC member when the president is not even interfering to help a ZANU-PF member? So I think on that regard, I think the Senate should let the process run its full course. Then after the president, they can review its fairness or lack thereof. But for them to start saying that it should be let off, I don't think even it himself would want that. Because he's a lawyer. I don't think he'd want that to say, look, the Americans in the Senate have said you should be let go, and then the court and the president says, no, the Americans have said this. I think they should just let the court process run its course.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mponda, when you say Mr. Mnangagwa is not supposed to interfere with the court processes, he has done that before. It's only that maybe that the senators are saying that because remember at one time he actually claimed credit for intervening to ensure that BT was released on bail. Mr. Mnangagwa himself on Twitter.
Well, I think if the president said that, whatever is being alleged that president said, what I know is the president said, follow the court process, follow the law, do not appear to be using overhanded tactics. Please just follow the law. Don't mistreat the gentleman.
No, this is what... If he's entitled to bail, let him get to bail.
If he's entitled to a trial, let him... The president just said, look, we are under the spotlight, please just follow the law.
So
that he said, release the guy. Just let him go.
Mr. Mponda, this is the tweet from Mr. Mnangagwa, and I quote, Tendai Biti was released earlier today following my intervention. At such a crucial time in the history of the new Zimbabwe, nothing is more important than unity, peace, and dialogue. That's him. He has done it before.
Yeah, if he says intervention, it doesn't mean in interference. What if you could have just said a good word, say, look, he's a senior leader, treat him fairly. Intervention doesn't mean like he could have said release him and cancel the charges. But he said he intervened in terms of, look, be fair to the guy. We are being watched. They try to follow the law. Let us not appear to be heavy-handed. Let us end. That is what happened, Mr. Biti. Go to court and he was given bail. He wasn't beaten up. He wasn't ill-treated. Let's say that. So if the president says he intervened, it doesn't mean he came in and said, okay, let the guy go. He says, just please follow the law and make sure that you don't use unnecessary force on the guy or mistreat him such that we are going to bring unnecessary negative publicity on the country. So as it is right now, I think the president's hands are very limited in terms of interfering in what is the legal processes that are happening. You know, I think even like I'm saying, I don't know if Mr. Biti wants the president to intervene himself. I don't think Mr. Biti wants that as well. He's a lawyer. He's a very senior lawyer. Mr. Chamisa is a senior advocate. I don't think they would want the president to intervene. And I don't think it's good for even the Americans to say, okay, we phoned Zimbabwe to tell them to release Biti and it happened. I mean, in which world did that happen? It can be lobbying, it can be engagement and things like that.
Mr. Mponda, we'll come back to you. We just want to play a video about the hearing. Maybe first we start with Senator Flake, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to those remarks.
So I guess
July, the people of Zimbabwe voted in a presidential election where, for the first time in nearly four decades, Robert Mugabe was not on the ballot. Mugabe's ouster was 1 year ago, and that era it ushered in held the promise of peace and prosperity for the people of Zimbabwe, who have suffered for far too long. I had the honor of serving as an election observer, where I bore witness to the excitement of thousands who walked for miles and waited in long lines to cast votes that mattered. I was there in a tent late at night, watching them count ballots by kerosene lamp. And it was democracy in its rawest form, and it was a pleasure to be there. But the next day, the excitement turned to horror and disappointment when six people were killed by the army in the streets of Harare after demonstrations turned violent. We then watched as opposition figures like Tendai Biti, who is a sitting member of the Zimbabwean Parliament and certainly well known to this committee, were arrested on charges of inciting post-election violence. For all of us who've been rooting for change in Zimbabwe, especially the Zimbabweans themselves, these events were crushing. Nevertheless, calm returned, and the Constitutional Court eventually declared Emmerson Mnangagwa the winner of the election, an election result, I should add, that was consistent with reports issued by entities funded by Western governments, including our own. Since that time, President Mnangagwa has largely been saying the right things. Some of the reforms, however, have been slow to come. Zimbabwe may be open for business, as is the slogan now, but foreign direct investment has not flowed into the country, as many are still wary of the investment climate there. Zimbabwe's economy has gone
that day is Senator Flake at yesterday's hearing. Gibbs.
Yeah, so there's a lot that he actually touched, you know, and he's talking about Mr. Tendai Biti, his arrest, and what has happened to the opposition, and what happened soon after the elections. So, Gwonki Kwanukuke Wazani, Intuangan is Yakataza, Avant Bemeliga. So, Nabe Kangela Kwanukuti, Umnunza Tendai Biti, Wawotra. So, Bagwana Ani, Loko Katanyezwa, Ilunga Lugazulu. Uso, where the Kwanukuke Uti, Akain Loguti, umnotho yangapi uthi umnanga kuyakhuluma sithi lizwe leZimbabwe litini li open for business kodwa kula investment ebakhona so khonapha ke sibona zana okunye okuningabakhuluma liqiniso ungakhani leZimbabwe uthi kwenzakalani umnotho ungazani sukuqa ngamadola njalo futhi
hongu manzi kwa Senator Flake vachitaura hapo kuti vari kuona sekuti vamnangagwa vari kungotaura zvekuti Zimbabwe is open for business asi hapana zvakawanda zvavari kuita kuwandudza zvinhu vataurawo imwe nyaya yekuti vakawanda vakaenda kunoona sarudzo dzemuZimbabwe havana kufara nekupfurwa kwakaitwa vanhu muHarare pari kupomerwa mhosva kuti zvakaitwa nemauto vanhu vatanhatu and we have a human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga just joining us. Mr. Mavinga, good evening.
Good evening, blessing good evening to the listeners and viewers of VOA Studio 7.
Thank you so much. What is your take on this August 1 shootings? You heard what the senators were saying. They all condemned that action and saying that that really shows that Zimbabwe has not turned the corner.
I think what is important for the government of Zimbabwe, for the authorities to understand, is that Zimbabwe is viewed holistically. It is not viewed in a binary fashion of maybe saying we look at only one particular side. So President Mnangagwa and his team have done well to market and talk about the economy, about Zimbabwe being open for business, but they have overlooked the other critical pillar for investment in international relations and good development. With this pillar is the pillar of good governance, of the rule of law, of the human rights respect. And this is the pillar that was put under the spotlight on 1 August 2018 when the military shot and killed at least 6 people on the streets of Harare. So there is need for a deliberate and focused discussion and clarification of what happened. And the international community and people in Zimbabwe as well, they need to be able to see that justice has been done with regards to the victims of the shootings, with regards to the process of the commission of inquiry into the shootings. They need to get a sense in their hearts of confidence that this is not a whitewash process, that there is a genuine attempt by the authorities to ensure justice and accountability. Remember, Zimbabwe is coming from a background of serious mistrust, which must be restored by clear actions on the part of the government. So they have done well to talk about the right things. But what we are now urging the authorities is that they should talk more on the human rights and governance side and also do more in terms of practical actions that can be pointed to, not words, but deeds.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mavinga. For those of you who are just joining us, good evening. This is Studio 7 Live Talk, and tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the U.S. Senate hearing yesterday. It was the subcommittee on foreign affairs. It was talking about Zimbabwe after the elections, and they raised a number of issues touching on corruption, the August 1 killings, the state of the economy, politics, and the issue of human rights. And tonight, our guests, we have Mr. Gilbert Mponda. He's a businessman and also a member of the ruling ZANU-PF party, and human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga. Gibbs, I think we have a caller.
Yes, Lomlale Lapake Kumane, Mbavo Spanda, Mtawin, Kunjan.
Sephilom
Tawin, Mbavo.
Ngisejombe.
Yeah, kunjani Jombe?
Hayi kukahle.
Yeah, uthini kodwa lo?
Ngiyabuza udaba lolu, ngiyakuzwa ukuthi sibili abantu laba elikhuluma naye lo usitshela ukuthi sokuthi intshile, kodwa angibona ukuthi kulento enhle sibili abayenzileyo. Bona abaye America laba ba right. Ngoba nxa ubithi sikhuluma ekhuluma ngobithi upresident engangenelanga. Ngicela limbuzo ukuthi kuyini okwakuza kwenzakala kubithi nga upresident kangenelanga. Ukuthi athi ka-TPFL abanye abangasobithi ke bona bathithwa njani kuma lo ku-justice ngale.
Mhm. Sizaphosela khonapho ke umbuzo wakho, kodwa ke qhubeka sibili kwezethu simnike ichance ukuthi aphendule lawo uyabusulalela.
Okunye ngifuna ukukubuza ukuthi ama-chiefu phela yibo abanye abantu alokhu besetshenziswa ukube bethatha abantu bebadonsela kuZANU-PF bebafosa bebesibathembisa ukubaqotha ezindaweni. Sibona igovernment lokhu ibasebenzisa kakhulu njalo ukuthi nxa kuyiwa ku-election vele kube yibo ababe besethithela abantu ukuthi lingakeli kwenza lokhu sizalenza so lingakeli kwenza lokhu. Lokhu beqhubeka beqhiwa izimota beqhiwa into eziningi ukuthi bayenze khonokho. So ukuthi vele akulanto engabe itshintshile ababe beyenze ngoba ama-chiefs lokhu bebona lokhu engani ale party unemilabe ngabantu babantu bonke.
Mhm. So kodwa wena nxa ukhangele izijeziso zenotho zikubamba njani kona?
Izijeziso zenotho ngibona ngani kufanele zibe khona ngoba vele abantu labo ukuze balungise izinto zibe right kumele bavume ukwenza into eziright. Ayikhona ukuthi babe sebesithi bona lokhu nalokhu sesilungisile bathi kumele kuyalungisa izinto ezingela msebenzi. Ukuthi opposition siyinikile ichance yokukampena, siyinikile ichance yokukampena, kodwa phela lifake iarmu ngale kwangikhona engamachifu eyiyeza isebenza against i-opposition yangikhona yembewu. So akula amu akula kuthi ukuthi ubanikile iright yokukampena wena uzaphinde uhambe ngale kwangikhona yokuthi ngiyanika abantu ukudla, ngiyabanika ngalokhu through iarmu zeZANU-PF ezinithi abantu zithi zona nxa ungaparticipatanga kuZANU-PF awuphiwa lokhu awuphiwa nalokhu awuphiwa nalokhuyana khona kuyizinto zegovernment.
Hayi, siyakuza kakhulu ke Mtaweni, sibonge kakhulu. Sizambuza umbuzo wakho lo kade ufakile.
Right, ngiyabonga.
Hayi, sibonge kakhulu. So that is Mr. Spanda is saying that Americans are right. Nothing is moving in Zimbabwe. So he says he wants to pose a question to Mr. Mponda, and the question is, what would have happened to Mr. Biddy if Mr. Mnangagwa didn't interfere in his arrest?
Mm-hmm.
So he wants an answer on that. Right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Mponda, are you there?
I'm here, yes, I'm here. I think what the question is more rhetorical than practical, because I don't think anything would have happened, because there are other people who have been arrested. Mr. Tshwangela has been arrested, BT has been arrested before, and nothing happened to him. But it's just because there's this Zimbabwe is open for business. The president was just making sure that things are okay. It is a citizen and a senior leader in this country. And the president was just making sure, okay, is he being treated well? Just like when Mr. Tshwangela was not feeling well, the president went to see him. You know, because he is trying to build a certain picture and perception and culture within the country that we are going to tolerate even those who we don't agree with, to make sure that they feel equally protected. So I don't think anything would have, but the president has just done his job to make sure that his brand that is pushing for the country and his vision that Zimbabwe is now in a better space was actually being followed to the letter. That is basically what happened. But I still have a challenge to those Zimbabweans who still call on sanctions for the country, who are still encouraging the Americans to put sanctions. on the country. That again, I take you back to the example of a zebra. You can't choose which part you are going to affect. When are you applying sanctions? When you apply sanctions in the financial world, how it works, a company will say Zimbabwe is under sanctions. Once they hear the president is under sanctions, or a certain leadership is under sanctions, certain companies will not just do business with Zimbabwe. In terms of companies that are based in Zimbabwe, the things will start to become expensive. You can't access credit. In terms of, right now you can't pay on PayPal if you are from Zimbabwe, because basically there are financial sanctions that are associated with doing business with Zimbabwe, just because of these sanctions. So it's wrong for a Zimbabwean to call for these sanctions, to say sanctions against Zimbabwe are good, they are going to see a Zimbabwe change because we have put sanctions. If the leadership is least affected by sanctions, it's the poorest people, the bottom people who are affected more by sanctions, not the richest or the most powerful. So the sanctions will leave those who are very powerful, those who are very rich, they won't be affected as much as they affect the ones at the bottom of the field. That's what I'm saying. It's very offensive and unbelievable and, you know, beyond any reason why a Zimbabwean would call for sanctions against Zimbabwe. That is not right. It's not correct. It's not going to serve anyone's interest to see Zimbabwe in any way or form suffer because you are not happy or you are not in office because your party didn't win and things like that. There might be transgressions here and there, but that is not sufficient. It's like for yourself to call for a harm to come to your family just because you are not happy with your dad. That means you are not happy with your mother. Say, ah, no, God punish my family because I am not happy. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You shouldn't
but
do that.
But, Mr. Mponda, when Americans were and other developed nations were talking about those issues, focusing on President Robert Mugabe, some in ZANU-PF were defending him, but he was removed by the military. Are those not the problems that leaders, in order for these sanctions not to be imposed, must also respect human rights? Are you not falling in the same tragedy that ZANU-PF was defending Mr. Mugabe only for his
I'm
own
not,
military to topple him and his colleagues?
Leader. I'm defending Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. Zimbabwe is not owned by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's our country together.
Mm-hmm.
So I should defend Zimbabwe, the interest of the country. That is something we need to be patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Being a patriot doesn't mean I'm ZANU-PF or I'm MDC. I love my country, my motherland. I will not have another country.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no another Zimbabwe. I cannot become American or any other nationality. So for that reason, I'm saying we should not call for harm towards our own country, even if we have our own differences.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to engage each other and talk to each other and make sure that we are furthering what is Zimbabwe's living conditions, because everyone benefits. Whether you're opposition or ruling party, you are going to benefit if conditions are better in the country. But for you to say, no, I'm not winning, so fix the country or punish the country, my brother, I don't see how that is going to make your position stronger. That's because the Americans are putting sanctions on Zimbabwe. Zimbabweans are suffering more. Then that type of thinking and this logic is not going to convince me or any other reasonable Zimbabwean.
My question, Mr. Mponda, was that should, in the same vein, if you are calling for sanctions to be lifted, should leaders also not respect human rights? Because evidently that was not happening under Mr. Mugabe, resulting in those sanctions being imposed.
One August shooting,
mm-hmm.
It's regrettable lives were lost,
mm-hmm.
because we actually had a very good election. It was followed by that event.
Mm-hmm.
However, the president, because he respects the rule of law and the human rights, he has appointed a commission. And for us to now start to prejudge the commission before it releases its report, I also think we're getting ahead of ourselves. We might as well just wait and hear what they have to say. And then after that, that's when we criticize. The president has done the right steps. Even the British government, the Americans have said, look, let's hear what this commission has to say.
We just want to quickly take one listener. Mkoma no, Hamandishe.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
Tinotenda zvikuru. Gibbs, I think we also have many people following us on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Zimbabwe. Tinamkoma Brighton, Mari Matombo, varikuti Mudhara Mari, all the way from Port Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Gabriel Paraza in Chipinge, varikuti ndifonereyo. Trevor H. Vambi, arguti, we did not impose sanctions on our country, Mr. Mponda. I understand that we all know that they are affecting us, but Americans are clear on conditions for such sanctions to be removed. Simbarashe Rodwell Mtenda says, Mr. Mponda's bread is well buttered. He's the mouthpiece of Mr. Mnangagwa and ZANU-PF. Evelyn Chivarange, watching from South Africa, thank you so much. Gabriel Paraza, Arguti, I think it's good for Zimbabwe to be given sanctions because we are not happy. We want Gabriel to tell us more. Why is he saying that he's not happy? And then we have Kudzi Manamo, who says, Mr. Mponda, I don't think you understand what you're talking about on the issue of sanctions. We have Clopas Matambandini, Maidei Chigora, LC Mwodzi, Sarah Mazengera, Shingirai, Robson Moyo, Prophet C. Kampegi Ruze, Gibson, would you have?
Slow mama ke uba kachitani, uti bayaz wotwa abemeli wa uti wakiwa iparlamenda encha, kotwa singe lama imiti ezibhedlela. Kuzo weake ukoni mpala uti the government is applying sanctions to its own people by giving food only to ZANU-PF people, but not to the opposition. Kuzo wewe unmobi zita tube, kanye lo zwe unmobi batis kona, tube konapa sibugele, siya wangakulu, uti lia kweza konke loko. So ke ngani funu kuti li kume konapa, li ngakotu kuti lia suwanela pela uti ngonantu. 001-202-619-2077. Kunjalo.
And I think we also have another video before we take another caller and go to Mr. Mavinga. We have Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. Let's take a listen to what he said.
Yeah, we are told that there is Mr. Todd Moss.
Not yet ready, but there's another Dr. Todd Moss, who also was a witness at this particular hearing yesterday. Let's hear from Dr. Moss.
Zimbabwe, I hoped, like many, that the July elections would put the country on a positive path. I had the great fortune of visiting Zimbabwe with a delegation of other former U.S. diplomats prior to the election. I came away from that trip deeply pessimistic that the election and the promised reforms were anything more than a poorly disguised charade. Events since the election have unfortunately only reinforced that pessimism. We've heard plenty of rhetoric on democracy, national reconciliation, and economic reform. And while we can point to a few token gestures, very little, if any, meaningful change has occurred. First, on the election, the Electoral Commission was very far from independent. As in the past, ZANU-PF and the security forces used intimidation and violence to sway votes. The military was openly and deeply involved in the election. The ruling party even weaponized food aid for votes. Despite having months of advance warning, almost none of the evident problems in the Electoral Commission were resolved. Both the EU mission and the U.S. mission led by IRI and NDI concluded that the election did not meet the
That there is Dr. Todd Moss. He is saying that he is not happy with what he's saying is the militarization of the state. Maybe we can bring in Mr. Mavinga there just quickly. Mr. Mavinga, what's your take on what Dr. Moss said there?
Well, I think it's self-evident that people were on the ground, and Dr. Todd Moss was in Zimbabwe himself, and they saw for themselves. And this is why it is important for a country in difficulties like Zimbabwe is, in this globalized village of instant access to information through social media, to focus more not on the words but on actions. That because when people are in doubt or when people are pessimistic, the only way to convince them is not in so many words, but is in doing the things that are supposed to be done to get the country to where it should be. Blessing, you will recall that I don't know if Ponda is aware that the ZANU-PF manifesto, the People's Manifesto of 2018, was quite clear that Zimbabwe has got a pariah status and that they have a promise to get Zimbabwe back to the international community on the basis of addressing outstanding international obligations. So it's quite clear. I don't know what he's talking about this sanctions mantra, because the ZANU-PF authorities themselves admitted the need to do a number of things to correct the image of Zimbabwe. So what needs to be done is known. We should not beat about the bush. Shooting people on the streets by uniformed soldiers on the 1st of August does not help the image of Zimbabwe, because the international community has been invited. They are on the ground. They are witnessing all that. So we must do things that get the country to a point of respect.
Thank you so much. Regards to Mwemtereri. Vamalunga, Magadi. Vamalunga.
Magadi.
Ti report pe ofungwa dzenyu.
Right. Just briefly, I think my issues are raised when I'm ponder in my sanctions. Yes.
Unfortunately, we got cut off. But let's just go to Mr. Mtizgwa. I think he also gave testimony. Mr. Mtizgwa is a Zimbabwean businessman. Let's hear what he said.
...of the committee. I thank you very much for inviting me to make this presentation today. I was most privileged in April this year to have the opportunity to meet Senator Fleck and Senator Coons and members of the committee in Zimbabwe. I'm here as a representative of the Zimbabwe private sector, which for long has been an absent partner in this process. We have not had the opportunity to have our voices heard in this committee. I'm here not as a politician. I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. I lead the 63 members of the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange Listed Companies Forum, which are the bulk of the private sector in Zimbabwe. Mr. Chairman, fellow members of the committee, I have already deposited my written submission, which is quite substantial. Not being familiar with the proceedings here, I will summarize kind of my remarks over and above the submission I've already made. I would like first to paint the picture in Zimbabwe as we see it from the private sector point of view. First of all, and very critical to us, Zimbabwe has embarked on a difficult and very painful road of transformation. For the first time in 38 years, Zimbabweans can express themselves freely. It was unheard of to experience the kind of freedom of expression that we see in Zimbabwe today during the time of Robert Mugabe. But what we observe, Mr. Chairman, is that there's a crisis of expectations. People, having been in bondage for 38 years, now want everything today. There's a palpable sense that, in fact, solutions must be proffered now, today, or yesterday, if possible. We submit to Mr. Chairman that from a private sector point of view, we know how difficult it is to change things and to transform Zimbabwe. Now, for the first time in four decades, we are seeing that fundamental issues confronting the economy are being confronted. And there are many fundamental issues that are distortions in this economy. Fiscal indiscipline, current account imbalance, unsustainable domestic and international debt, corruption, infrastructure decay, unemployment, deepening poverty, and lack of economic competitiveness across the economy, and many more other challenges. These are well known. These are not denied. They are a reality. The fact of the matter, though, is that they are being tackled today. Our observation is that the president, with his new administration, has taken a number of very bold measures to correct things. First of all, he has put in place a new team, a new cabinet, a trimmed one, a cabinet dominated by technocrats, including the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Transport, the Minister of Industry, and indeed the Minister of Roads. These people have been in office for 3 months. We submit that it is too early to judge them. We want to give them more time to, in fact, deliver. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we also note that there has been a very unambiguous stance taken by the President of Zimbabwe to rejoin the International Community of Nations and to remove Zimbabwe as a pariah state. That is very clear and very unambiguous. We note, Mr. Chairman, a shift by the leadership in Zimbabwe from a narrative of politics and hate speech that dominated the Mugabe era.
Mr. Mutizwa there, of course, he said before this committee that sanctions are actually hurting ordinary Zimbabweans and they are also affecting business. He's saying that for Zimbabwean business people, it's not easy to go and borrow money. And also, if a country is under whatever sanctions, targeted or just sanctions in general, it's difficult to attract investment. Ndivamutizwa waka taura waka mirira wema business nezuru. Vachiti zvirango zviri kukanganisa zvikuru nyaya dzezvehupfumi muZimbabwe. Asi vachiti semaonero avo vamunangagwa vari kuedza nepose pavanogona kuti vanyukure nyika mumadhaka mairi. Asi vanoda nguva get.
Ye, kunjalo ke munomzana Mutizwa lokati kuluma uto Mutizwa umela ke inkampani kuti JSM Consultants. So ke ngokutsho kwakhe futi umela osomabhizimisi abaningi abeZimbabwe abakuZimbabwe Stock Exchange. So ngokukhuluma kwakhe sibili kuti osomabhizimisi abaningi bona labo abameleyo sebenzelana lohulumende. So kuti kusebenza kwangkhona benzela ukuthi ilizwe lithuthuke phela ngoba bona asiwo abantu bezombusazwe. So ke ukhulume wathi ke sokumele kwesulwe izijeziso zenoto. Uthi izijeziso lezi zingazani zithwalise nzima abantu bonke ikakhulu osomabhizimusi athi abasatholi le mali yakwamanye amazwe so kuthi kuyahlupha kakhulu present.
Let's go to Mr. Mavinga. Mr. Mavinga, I'm sure you heard what Mr. Matiza there said especially arguing for more time for Mr. Mnangagwa to implement some of his policies. What's your take on that?
Well, it may well be that Mr. Mutizwa, representing the private sector, might feel that there is need for more time to implement the turnaround strategies. But I think what's important, which is the missing link in President Mnangagwa's approach, is a focus on the governance, politics and human rights pillar of re-engagement. Because investment cannot rest purely on Zimbabwe being open for business without a conducive human rights and rule of law environment. And some of these things do not need press conferences, do not need interviews. They are just simple steps that are taken to show the world that people are serious about, for example, anti-corruption, about, for example, respect for the rule of law. Because when, for example, if you go back to the issue of 1 August, when people are shot on the streets in broad daylight, it shouldn't take, you know, more than 3 months to identify the suspects when there is video evidence and footage and things like that, and to bring them before the court of law and to ensure that there is justice. So when these things do not happen, people become quite worried and pessimistic about the outlook. And certainly to address the issue that has been raised by Mponda, Mponda should be honest enough to know that the issues of Zimbabwe's pariah status had to do with the failure to pay back the loans from the IMF and the World Bank, which happened way in the 97-98, way before the targeted sanctions were imposed. So let's not pretend that the relationship with the IMF and the World Bank was founded on sanctions. In fact, the UN, there are no UN-led sanctions on Zimbabwe. So that must be the case. And also, the prerogative is on the government of Zimbabwe, as President Mnangagwa correctly said, to take the necessary steps to correct the international relationship and to address its international obligations. This is quite it's quite clear. There is no need for Mponda to purport to be a spokesperson of the government. The government must still simply act through its words and actions to show that it is committed. And the world will embrace that. So what is happening is that, yes, people are willing to give the country a chance, but they need to see actions that are corresponding to the words about Zimbabwe being open for business. And the two pillars must go together. Human rights and business are symbiotic and things. They are things joined at the hip. You cannot separate them. You cannot think that you can have a good economy without respect for human rights. It will not happen, especially for a country like Zimbabwe, which is trying to revive itself. It can only do that through support and confidence from its people when they see that there is indeed human rights, respect and justice for victims of abuse.
Thank you so much. Gibbs.
So I think we've got some more messages that are coming in. Precious Dube says, I'm watching you guys. Thank you for bringing us this kind of discussion. And then there's another guy, Albert. He says that, well, yes, Zimbabwe has got problems, but we hope that one day things will be okay. So let me go to Mr. Mponda. Mr. Mponda, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, Mr. Matthew Harrington of the State Department actually encouraged the opposition, MTC, and ZANU-PF to engage in a way, you know, so that this issue of Zimbabwe can be resolved. Can that happen?
That's from the ZANU-PF part. I think ZANU-PF is ready for that because the president has already said you are going to create an office for the opposition leader, and he said that he's ready to listen to what the opposition has to say. And that is the way to go, because Zimbabwe's problems, I don't think we can expect foreigners to actually come and fix these things. We can't really rush to Washington or New York or London. We Zimbabweans ourselves have to really find each other and sit and say, look, this is only Zimbabwe we have. We won't have another Zimbabwe. There's not going to be another country for us. This
but
is our
the problem,
we have to work together to find a way around it.
Before you go there, Mr. Mponda, you are saying that the president actually proposed that he would set up, let's say, an office of the opposition leader. But on the ground, let's be honest, there's nothing to show that he actually made those kind of strides.
We had the GNU before. Remember how long those talks took, how much time it was involved to actually have a GNU. I think it was 2 years or so. It's a process. It will take time. There is a crisis indeed of expectation. We need to talk to each other. I totally agree. And this process takes time. We have to be patient. We cannot expect this to go away by a flick of some sort, because these tensions have built up for years. There's mistrust, there's suspicions, there are all sorts of things. The good thing is that there is talk which is positive. Everything starts with talk. Whatever you speak, there's power into it. That I wish for this for my country. If you wish ill by proposing sanctions for your country, how can the country be good? You need to have good wishes and hopes for your country. And we need to talk about it. I think the State Department was right to say Zimbabweans themselves, without rushing to the outsiders, let us find each other and let us talk to each other. When those talks are not moving because of certain people, then you can call in the answer and say, look, he's not answering my phone, he's not returning my call, or with the conference he didn't turn up, and we can then engage outsiders. But ourselves, as Zimbabweans, we need to engage each other, and let us do that, because it is the only country we have, and we cannot expect foreigners. We have their own countries that are actually functioning well, and they are doing that. Why I wanted to answer what Mr. Mavinga was saying, it's important because he seems to suggest that Zimbabwe is in this position because we didn't pay certain loans to the international community and things like that, therefore we had sanctions. No, that is totally not correct. The problem with not paying your financial obligations can be solved simply by rescheduling them and coming with a long attempt to pay and things like that. What we have in Zigera are specific sanctions, which is for big Americans who sit on certain boards, whether they are on IMF, IFC, Africa Development Bank, or whatever instance they sit on. Those Americans are forbidden by American law to support any loans or any financial assistance coming to Zimbabwe. That is why we say those sanctions are negative. To say United Nations, whilst trying to ignore America, is I don't know how to put it across. The world is denominated in US dollars, which are controlled by Americans. Even if you have an account in Zimbabwe with US dollars, that account is ultimately controlled somewhere in Washington or in New York. If we are using US dollars for whatever trade you are doing, Americans have got power over it. That is why we are saying we want to re-engage the international community. That is what the president has actually done. This is not lip service. The president has gone to certain forums that previously we were ignoring. The president has gone to apply to join the Commonwealth. The president has gone to Davos. This is not lip service. He has actually done action within his power as a president. That is what he can do. That is what he's expected to do. The rest of it is action that's supposed to follow. Because we have got this backlog of expectations and negative publicity, it might take us a lot of time to get that positive feedback we
thank
deserve.
You, Mr. Mponda.
But as Zimbabweans ourselves, we need to do something positive.
Thank you, Mr. Mponda. Let's go back to Facebook, Gibbs, quickly. We have Ray Colin Nyashan, who says, is this not clear? If ED is sincere, why can't he simply listen to this? One, ZEC was an independent. Two, a military openly supported ZANU-PF. Three, food used for elections. Four, August 1 killings. Five, why move on without holding people responsible to account? Number five, government lies that people died when they were killed. Yes, other points that he once addressed. Owen Nyerex, he says he's in Canada. He says Zimbabwe to fulfill conditions for sanctions to be lifted. He says Zimbabwe has to fulfill those conditions, and he adds that we owe $5 billion in arrears, but we want forgiveness. We lost $15 billion, which has not been accounted for. I guess he's talking about diamonds. Francesca Madzana says on sanctions, America is very clear because there is no rule of law and government did not consider human rights, and they use the military to kill people. I'm watching from Texas, USA. Courtney Mpembi, Koti, watching from Canada. Thank you. Abraham Chitembea, I wish them to add more sanctions. Gushkazwa Gazirika. What exactly? He didn't elaborate. Nyasha the Homwe, he says ZANU-PF must be serious. Tofa Ninzara. Gibbs, who do you have there?
We've got Brighton Ndugu, who says, he writes in Shona, he says, Mavinga wakapenga, wapeza zwako. So he says, he nailed it, right?
Yes.
Then we've got K. Mukunda, who says, so if you have won Zimbabwe, stop abusing it, Mr. Mponda. Stop wasting our resources and stop abusing our citizens. Then we've got Hudson, who says, Mr. Mponda, where do you get all the time? You know, you always say a lot of things, and you're saying some things will always take a bit of time to be rectified. So he wants to know about why he's saying that. So maybe you've got some more there.
I think we've also run out of time. We must end it here. We want to take this opportunity to thank our guests this evening, human rights lawyer Dewama Vinga, a businessman, Gilbert Muponda, also a member of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Thanks to our viewers, our callers, and those who send messages on Facebook and WhatsApp, and our brilliant team behind the scenes, our engineers and producers. Signing off and saying have a blessed weekend. This is yours truly, Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Kip Stube saying bye-bye, Zimbabwe. Have a nice weekend.